Today on Real Radio.
Who is the biblical Jesus in your life? Is he in your life? Who is he? Jesus would say today, amazing thing. Watch, if he appeared right now and he was going to ask a question, he would ask, who do you say that I am? 2,000 years later, you have the Bible, you have archaeological, scientific evidence, you've got all of these things. Time has now gone on. You can check all the prophecies of the Bible. I'm curious, who do you say that I am? Your answer is your answer, and it determines your future.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 9, which includes what is arguably the most important question of life. In the words of the Messiah, who do you say that I am? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called, What Do You Think About Jesus?
What do you think about Jesus? Verses 18 to 19, this is it. When it comes to who he is, listen to what it says. It happened that as he was there alone praying, that his disciples joined him. So they came alongside him. They noticed that he's in prayer. He's praying. And he, Jesus, asked them, that is the disciples, who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say one of the prophets of old is risen from the dead. What is significant about what we're talking about here and now? It's not only the question, church, listen, take notes on this. It's not only the question, it's the geography of where the question is being asked. That is all important. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Remember that little mini retreat they were trying to get to? Anybody remember last week? They were going to get in the boat and go take a break. What happened? Remember the people ran around on the side of the lake and they met him when they got out of the boat and their little retreat was all messed up, right? Jesus fed the 5,000, remember that? Jesus didn't forget that they needed a break. Isn't that sweet? They get out of the boat, he feeds the 5,000, he takes them north. They start heading up. And this is very important. We're going to look at a couple of slides. They are in Caesarea Philippi. That is a very, very key location as to why Jesus Christ is presenting this question to the disciples. And here we go. This is the land of Israel, obviously, right here. You see the Dead Sea here, and you see the Galilee. By the way, see that little lake right there, the Lahula Lake? That's dried up now. It's a very fertile farmland right now, though. So this is the region. Jesus has been ministering in this region, and now he's heading north. Next slide. Zooms in on it. Take a look at this. This is obviously the Sea of Galilee. How many of you have been to Israel? Raise your hand. Okay, you see Tiberias? That's where our hotel was. You were baptized right there. We drove up this way, and then we headed up this way through the mountains, and then came to Caesarea Philippi. If you haven't been there, it looks like the foothills or the higher foothills of Lake Tahoe. Extremely beautiful. Caesarea Philippi. No Jews go to Caesarea Philippi. What's Jesus doing? Well, wait a minute, Jack. If they're going to take a break, I see why Jesus is doing this. He's taking them to a place where nobody goes. I didn't say nobody goes there. No Jews would go there. Why? Next slide. You'll see why. No Jew would want to go there because these are various temples to pagan gods. By the way, they went over here too. Here's a temple. Here is a plaza. Temple. Plaza. Do you see that? Do you see this elevated plaza? Do you see the niche in the rock right there? Can you guys see that over here? You see that niche right there? See those people standing here? I know this is boring, but you got to get this in your head. You see those niches right there? Those cutouts? This is an artist's drawing, by the way. This is a sketch of 2,000 years ago. Yes, Jesus and those guys wore robes, but don't think that their architecture and their engineering was pathetic. We can't even do stuff like this today. We don't have enough money to pull this off. This is made out of the real deal. If we were going to build something like this, we'd use fiberglass. They used real stone. This is the real, this is of the Roman Empire. Why is it important? Because you see, out in this area out here, there was this religious or spiritual agora, mall, marketplace. Why? Why spiritual? Because they're now in Caesarea Philippi. This is a mountain here of rock. And you see, you guys see that black area right there? That is a cave. The Jordan River comes out of this cave and flowed off to this side, and the Jordan River begins in this hole. Comes out of the ground. See this temple? See this temple? Let's say today's Monday, and it's Diana Day. It's Diana Day. And so the worshipers would come, they would get their little idols, their little icons of Diana. By the way, I know those of you in history have seen these things. It's quite shocking. Have you, though, has the general gathering of this church, have you seen idols of Diana? You don't want one. You don't want to see one. It is perverse sick. Why do I bring it up? Because you would buy it or bring it from home, and you would go to the temple here, and you'd come up to the steps, and you would say, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You'd take your money, and you would walk along this row that's inside here, enter these doors, and there would be women and men, boys and girls that were dedicated to Diana. And you would go along there and you would pick one. And then you would take that person who was dedicated to the worship of Diana, and you'd go further along back inside here, and you would do what Diana is all about, if you know what I mean. And when you were done doing that, imagine all this in the days without Viagra. They would come out of here and they would pick up a new god. How cool is that? Okay, I'm done with this one. Here, I want a new one. I want this one. Aphrodite. Oh, I want Aphrodite. Okay. Or Zeus. Or Titan. Or whoever, whatever the ancient gods. You pick one. Idol. And then you'd go into this temple before you enter in. Great is Zeus. Great is Zeus. You have to make the declaration. Then you would enter in. And then you would pick that temple servant to accommodate you in worship. That's nothing. You see these platforms? And there's some more over here, by the way. And there's a big hill right here. We've all hiked up here to look down at this. We've all gone into here. And that right there, we stood in this. You can stand in that niche. See that platform right there? That's the plaza or the temple of the nymphs. Have you ever heard of nymphomania or nymphomaniac? That's the temple of the nymphs. I don't need to explain to you what goes on there. This is a nut house of a place. This is the Vegas of the day, man. This is a perverse, sick land right there. Caesarea Philippi. Now, do you see why no Jew would go there? It was demonic. It was horrific. It was dedicated to paganism. So where does Jesus take his disciples for a break? Isn't that weird? You kind of think maybe your Christianity is much more resilient than you give it credit for? Huh? What are you afraid of? Jesus takes his guys, and probably, next slide. Yep, that hill, those to the right. Jesus is probably, because it's a very excellent place to observe, you see these actual ruins here, you guys? You see these foundations? Do you see? You see some cutouts right here? Can you see that? Do you see the cave where that temple once stood? Jesus saw all this stuff in real life. When you go to Israel, you touch it, you walk it, you're there. Next slide. There, do you see the niche? You see the big hole right? Jordan River's coming out right here. Can't see it. Coming out here. See the niches in the rock? I think we have another slide. Look at them. Jesus literally saw those. Not like those. He saw those. and you would put the idols in here and you would shout, Diana, Diana, or whoever. Do we have another slide? I think we have another one. Yeah, we got in this one. We climbed up there and stood in here. It's against the law to stand in. But they would put those gods in here and people would go crazy. I think that's it, huh? Do we have more? Is that it? It's amazing. Jesus takes his disciples to this place. What's he doing? Oh, he's got a perfect plan. And listen, now that you see that in your mind's eye, and now that you've heard, what do you think about Jesus when it comes to who he is? He takes his disciples to the place where all the God's names were being thrown about. And Jesus goes right into the face of Satan's representations on earth. Isn't it cool? I love this. Here's how and here's why. Verse 18, we learn this. When it comes to who Jesus is, some people will say anything about Jesus. They've got to say something. And it's true in your life too. And it happened that when he was alone praying, his disciples joined him and he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? Who do the crowd say that I am? People will say anything about Jesus, do they not? Those of you who you traffic with whomever, don't they have their opinion about Jesus? Look from this end of the sanctuary to the other. You've got your opinion about Jesus. Here's the amazing thing. Your opinion, what you believe about him, matters absolutely to you. It may not matter much to me. You can be as wrong as the day is long. It matters to you. It may not matter to me. Everybody, though, has an opinion about Jesus. Here's the point. You need to have the right opinion about Jesus. That's the key. For one who has spent everything, leaving heaven above to come to earth beneath, to be clothed in human skin. Now, you and I think our human skin is just fine as long as it's not sagging and breaking and stinking. I'm a guy. I can say that. I stink. I buy more deodorant now than ever before. What is going on? God, what's happening to me? You're dying, Jack. You need this. The flesh. He came from heaven to set us free, says the Bible, to give us life eternal. Now watch how this comes together. People will have and must have a response or an answer about Jesus. And you'll hear all kinds of answers. And I wrote some of them down. Some of the things are like this. There are those people who say that Jesus is just an angel. They knock on your door. They'll say, okay, Jesus, yeah, but his name is also Michael, they'll tell you. He's just an angel. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he's just an angel. And then there's another group. They'll knock on the door and they'll say, listen, he's a God, they're a God, you're a God, here a God, everywhere a God, God. You can be a God. He's just one of many and you can be one too. That's what another group says. There are those who say he was a tremendous prophet. Okay, there's a lot of people who say that. Well, listen, what does Jesus say about himself? Tremendous things, wonderful things, great things. But watch this, be thinking. Are you guys ready? I want you to think now. This is very important. Have you ever had someone say, I really respect Jesus? I really respect him. I don't think anyone's done more for morality in the whole world than Jesus. I think it's fantastic. I think he's a good teacher. Jesus is a famous teacher. He was the greatest of all teachers. Somebody might say he's the most enlightened master of spirituality there ever has been. Wrong every time. Wrong every time. Because if Jesus is those things, then, and nothing more than that, then he's a lunatic. If he is a great moral rudder for mankind, and that's it, then he's a real weirdo, and here's the reason why. I wrote some things down to challenge that thought of trying to give Jesus credit and show him some form of respect, thinking you're covering your bases. You'll admit, oh, he's a great man. A great man? Are you sure he's a great man and a tremendous moralist when he said, I am the bread of life, and if you eat of me, you'll never be hungry again? I think that's the word of a lunatic, unless he's the Lord. Don't tell me he's a great teacher and a tremendous prophet and one who establishes great morality when he says, I'm the bread of life. You know what? He's either the Lord or he's a crazy man. But don't you dare say that he was a great teacher and a very moral, tremendous influence for the world. Oh, no, he cannot be that. When he says one thing, you either believe him or you don't believe him. You have an opinion, don't you? Is he the Lord or lunatic when he said that? Is he the Lord or lunatic when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me? If he was a moralist and a nice guy and somebody you want to hang out with, then he can't be this. He's either the Lord or he's a lunatic. He cannot be someone who you want to create to appease a middle ground. He's either the Lord God Almighty, or he is a twisted deceiver, and it's all a sham. But you cannot say that he is a tremendous person of history and did great things. He's either doing those great things because he's God in human skin, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and life, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. But he can't just be a great moral person. Do you get my point? You need to think this through. Because our modern day world, and it's no different than the old world, is I don't know what to do about Jesus. The Bible kind of scares me when I read about him. He does tremendous, wonderful things. But the end is I either need to receive him and accept him into my life, or I reject him. So what do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm not willing to do anything, so I'm going to create something else. I'll create a middle ground. I'll say I respect him. He's a tremendous influence. Can't do that. Can't do that at all. So people will say anything about Jesus. Christian friend, today when you go, wherever you go, from here on out, just start asking things like this. When people start saying things about God, or when you just say, or you'll hear a conversation, believe me, if you're open, God will bring up the conversation and you'll get to just stick your nose right in it. God will do it. He'll cause it to happen and you'll say, excuse me, did you say that you believed in God? I'm sorry, but did you say you believed in God? Yeah. Great, that's great. What God do you believe in? Excuse me? God who? I mean, there's a lot of people knocking on doors and people writing books. Which God? Who? What God do you believe in? You guys, you ought to try that sometime. I guarantee you, people will not walk away from you when it happens that way. When you ask them, what God do you believe in? What kind of a question is that? Well, because there's a lot of gods. Are you talking about the God of the Bible, which is the living God? Or are you talking about something else? Well, I believe in Jesus. Now, don't say this to them, but the Bible says in the book of James that Satan believes in Jesus, knows about Jesus, and trembles. The word in Greek is, every time Satan and his demons think about Jesus, this is the coolest thing. When they think about him, James says, he uses the word in Greek, they get goose flesh. What? When Satan and his demons think about Jesus, they get goose flesh. Have you ever seen a naked turkey at Thanksgiving? That's goose flesh. Lumpy. You know, like goosebumps. What do we call that for? Goosebumps. Isn't that funny? You get, ooh. The Bible says that when Satan and his demons think about Jesus, they get goosebumps. I think that's cool. When you say, do you believe in Jesus? Jesus who? Because all the cults have a different Jesus that knock at your door. And there are hundreds and hundreds of cults, and every Jesus is different. Do you remember Maharishi Mahesh Yogi? Remember him? He'd sit on that rock in like Arizona or wherever he was. It was Arizona? Sedona? He'd sit on the rock. I'm asking you to look inside. Look deep inside you. And there you will find the you. The who? The you. The you that you need to know. Look inside, and the convergence of the universe, it will be you. He said, Jesus is Lord. I am Lord. Oh, heck, we all get to be Lord. If you just focus upon your navel, look inside. This was a real program. I used to watch it for fun. Apparently you did too, remember? Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I'm surprised more of you didn't know about him. Someone's wrong here. It's either what Jesus said or what people are saying. Just because it's my opinion or your opinion doesn't make it truth. Honestly, our opinions are often tempted with convenience. I want to believe what I want to believe because it makes me feel good. Don't bother me with details like the truth. It's scary, huh? Well, listen. If people don't say something about God, they're certainly, or about Jesus, they're certainly, in verse 19, willing to say things like, well, he's one of the ways to God. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Because, look, verse 19, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you are, you know, pretty big hitter. Pretty important guy. Jesus is not John the Baptist, and he's not Elijah. He's not any of the prophets, as we shall see in a moment. He's not one of the ways to God. He said that he was the way. He said that he was the door. Do you understand what the Bible demands? Maybe this is why people don't like the Bible. It makes us uncomfortable. The Bible says that Jesus said he's the door. And anyone who tries to come in any other way is a thief and a robber. Yikes, that's quite a statement. That's what it says. Again, he's either the Lord, and he meant it, or he's a crazy man. There's, you know, there's no other way to God, but technically, I mean, honestly, technically, the Greeks used to say, all the roads lead to God. How convenient is that? You ever read Pilgrim's Progress? That's a great book. All roads lead to God. Oh, that's true. All roads do lead to God. Every person must stand before God in the end. You need to read a little further. Everybody gets to stand before God. What you want to find out is what road takes you to heaven. That's where I want to go. All of God's creation will stand before him in the end. Jesus Christ, his son, is the door that takes you into the presence of the Lord forever. That's so vitally important. Some will say that he's a prophet. Verse 19 toward the end says, others say that you're one of the old prophets that have risen. Now they're getting, some people have gone so far to say, because of all that you're doing, that you are an ancient prophet that came back from the dead because you're so powerful with all the miraculous things that you do. That you are a prophet. Listen, have you ever heard anyone say that Jesus is a great prophet? I've heard that too much. When they say he's a great prophet, ask him, do you believe if he's a great prophet? Will you go so far to believe Jesus at his own word? What do you mean? Do you believe that he, for example, said in the scriptures that he was the great I am?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called What Do You Think About Jesus? It's a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 18 through 27, part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, because this is quite possibly life's most important question, we've made it a mini-series, and in fact, we're making it available on DVD, and it's called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. Jesus Christ isn't a curse word. It's a valuable tool for evangelism as well as for your own personal review. Our offer is this. We'll send it to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, and it's on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.